Good evening and welcome to Q95's Prime Evening News Package for today, Thursday, August 20th, 2015. I'm your presenter, Richie Ferrol, and here's what's making news. Senator Thompson Fontaine, angry over mismanagement of Dominica's economy and increasing taxation. JetBlue to add two more Grenada flights, the first beginning next month. And Macedonia, state of emergency declared over migrants. The news is brought to you through the kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. Details of these stories and more coming up.
The Courts Technical Service Department is the authorized service center for the world's best brands in appliances and electronics. Need repairs done to your damaged electronics and appliances? Check us out. We also repair items not purchased from Courts. And backed by our track record of servicing the world's best brands, our team of trained technicians will provide the best diagnosis for your problem. So, visit us today at our Castle Comfort branch or call us at 448-7655, extensions 2414, 2426, or 2442. And experience technical service at its best. We're here to serve you. Quartz, bringing value home.
Welcome back. Senator Dr. Thompson Fontaine says he is angry over increasing levels of incompetence and corruption in the DLP government's handling of Dominica's economy, which he says is putting nationals into a position where they will have to bear the burden of paying more taxes.
I'm getting increasingly angry, and I'm hoping I don't get bitter in the process. But there's a lot of anger now because of the way this government has been operating, the level of not only incompetence, but the level of corruption that is going on in this government, and the fact that the people of Dominica have been made to pay for it. I mean, there is a price to this behavior, and the price is that we are having to pay more for goods and services in this country. Taxes are going up.
Meanwhile, with revenues falling and grants diminishing, UWP Senator Dr. Thompson Fontaine is of the firm belief that the government may feel forced to ask Dominicans to pay a higher value added tax within the next few years. In order to sustain their level of uncontrolled spending, Fontaine is now even more convinced that the DLP government has no clue as to what to do to get Dominica's economy moving and growing again.
I am of the very firm belief that there's going to come a point within this next 5 years where the government may be, and I say may, I'm not saying they will, may be forced to raise the rate of VAT. For the very simple reason, revenues keep falling. The level of grants, at one point we got $150 million in grants, it is down to some $40 million. And from this $40 million, some $30 million is from the BAM. The BAM is going to come to an end in 2.5 years, 3 years' time. The government is not able to attract any more grant financing. And you heard it from the Prime Minister himself in Layu recently. He was saying, well, okay, grants are simply dried up. So you're not able to get grants. Your tax revenues are falling. You cannot sustain your level of spending by simply putting taxes on chicken parts and putting taxes on road on vehicle drivers. You have to do something more substantive. Either A, you send the people home, you cut back drastically on government spending, or you have to raise taxes. And the only meaningful way you can raise taxes in a country, or you can raise revenue in an economy that is shrinking the way this economy is shrinking, is you have to raise the rate.
Chief psychiatrist at the Princess Margaret Hospital, PMH Dr. Griffin Benjamin, says that it is possible to help vagrants overcome rejection and rehabilitate their minds to normalcy. He says this would require efforts and cooperation of government authorities and the people involved in the related health services in partnering to create a primary health care system for the vagrant community and for people with mental illnesses. Dr. Benjamin says treatment for people with mental illnesses is very important and added that there are not enough resources to treat people when they are diagnosed with mental issues.
Yeah, the idea of overcoming social rejection. We believe that the reason that that our people remain on the street, mm-hmm. or persons with mental illness remain so chronically ill for so long, why it costs the state so much, is because we do not treat people properly because because we diagnose them with a mental illness. When we diagnose people with high blood pressure and diabetes, the system is there, the primary care system, the secondary care system is there to treat them and to prevent them from developing complications like stroke and blindness and all these sort of things. There's not enough resources being spent. The money is not put aside enough for mental health. And so what has gone wrong is that the system, the community system, has not been supportive. The government has not clarified exactly how we should deal with the vagrants. And
Dr. Benjamin says families do not adequately support health authorities properly in treating mentally ill family members. He says they are not adequately cooperating with healthcare professionals and are not informing them in a timely manner when their family members are mentally ill. Mr. Benjamin wants Dominicans to be more understanding and avoid stigmatization of the vagrant community. He also invites all Dominicans to attend the UE Forum to be held today, Thursday, August 20th, 2015, at the Fort Yonge Hotel at 7 p.m.
Most of all, this
is mental health, you think, a stigma?
Absolutely stigmatized. People are completely discriminated against because they came home. Just imagine your mom tells you that she went to the doctor and the doctor tells her she has high blood pressure. You immediately become supportive of your mother. The minute your brother or sister comes up with a potential diagnosis of mental illness, whether it's suicide attempt or any form of mental disturbance, immediately become very, very, very angry. You don't want that to be associated with your family, and you go into complete denial. As a therapist, these people become aggressive towards us. They actually think that we are the ones determining that this person, although they brought the person to us, you know, they kind of blame us. They, oh, I bring him to you, but do not medicate him. Don't even tell him he's mentally ill. I'll get angry with you if you tell my son or my daughter or my father or my mother they're mentally ill. So they take these people away from us and they take them back home or they take them to the communities where they end up as disturbed and abandoned in their own communities.
Mr. Benno Pascal, father of Stephanie Pascal, who secured 10 ones and 1-2 in this year's CSEC examinations, encourages parents not to spoil their children with toys and games, but rather spend time in creating the best possible environment for their child's cognitive development. Mr. Pascal did not receive a high school education, but he did not let that reality hinder communications and discipline for his kids. Mr. Pascal added that he instilled discipline into his children at an early age, which led to the success of his daughters, Stephanie Pascal and Steffi Pascal. Mr. Pascal is now considered a role model for many fathers in the Commonwealth of Dominica.
You can't allow your children to get to a point where they are probably like 9 years, or you know, and that is the time you're trying to instill this discipline in them. You have to start early. You know, one of the mistakes I've seen, I've seen it in my own family, some people make mistakes where they feel they love their children so much that they don't really want to correct them because they feel if they correct them, they might be hurting them. But that is the other way around. You got to start very early. And that is one of the key aspects to instilling the discipline in your children.
When you mean discipline, you don't mean punish people.
No, no matter of punish, it's a matter of getting your children to understand early that you have basically what it takes. You know, you're created by God and whatnot, but you have to take your responsibility early. It's a matter of just teaching your children to learn.
I like the positive vibes you're saying because you yourself did not maybe have the opportunities that the young people had, but you instill that discipline.
Yeah, it's important to note too that I myself, you know,
yeah,
I must say that there, I never even really went to
high school.
I'm the only siblings out of between my mother and my father, children that actually didn't go to high school. But you know, in everything you have to give thanks because my siblings never really made me felt like belittled because, you know, you didn't go. They always try to make me feel part of them too, you know. And so they too are exceedingly proud of what I have been able to achieve too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's another thing. Your family is very important, and not because somebody have a shortcoming, because I know where my shortcomings was, and that is one of the things that gave me the inspiration to guide them, because I knew I could have gone to high school, but I got myself in trouble where I used to be following quote-unquote guys that was probably even more foolish than I am.
Bad companies.
Bad companies. It's not like they lead me to bad things, but I know they were probably not as bright as me.
Right.
But I end up following them. So I teach my children early to be leaders rather than followers.
Boy, that's a very positive point here.
Senator Dr. Thompson Fontaine states that the highlight of the 2015-2016 national budget is higher taxes. However, even these taxes will not be able to improve the already tanking economy. Mr. Fontaine further remarked that it would be a safe bet that the economy would continue to decline if the DLP government strictly pursues solely its current course. Senator Fontaine sees nothing in the 2015-2016 national budget to stop Dominica's economy from continuing to slide.
Nothing in this budget is going to contribute towards any picking up in the pace of this economy. This budget, the highlight of the budget obviously is the higher taxes, and you cannot tax an economy that is tanking. Not enough money is being placed into agriculture, not enough money is being placed in the tourism sector, and also the policies, there are no policies to speak about. Whatever is spelled out in the budget is not enough and is not going to make a difference. So I think we can safely assume today that the economy will continue to go down the tubes because nothing in this budget is of any significance as far as being able to rejuvenate or bring the economy back up.
And the National Development Foundation of Dominica, NDFD, is reporting that the disbursement of 392 new business loans in the past financial year resulted in the creation of some 800 jobs. The NDFD board has confirmed that institutions signed off on at least 392 new business loans in 2014. Chairman of the Board of Directors of the NDFD, Oliver Henderson, says there was recorded growth in requests for loans and disbursements. He told the 33rd Annual General Meeting of the NDFD last week that some of these businesses have export potential.
The NDFD was involved in numerous activities geared to assist the MSME sector to strive towards delivering excellence. There was a concerted effort to get various businesses to operate along more formal lines, which augur well in terms of financial standings. Data for the period January to December 2014 indicates that a total of 392 businesses were financed, resulting in the creation of 820 jobs. While this is encouraging, it is even more heartening to note that some of these business products have export potential, and work is ongoing to upgrade these to the desired quality with the assistance of relevant agencies.
Chairman of the Board of Directors of the NDFD, Oliver Henderson. The NDFD funded some major traditional sectors to include agriculture, fishing, and tourism. In other news, owner of the Jungle Bay Resort and Hummingbird Air, Sam Raphael, says there are other hotels and resorts like his own in Dominica which are doing well and have received awards with respect to the quality of their property and feedback of satisfactory experience of his guests as regards the facilities and amenities that are provided for their guests. However, Raphael says the tourism industry in Dominica can improve, but air access needs to be made easier for tourists and travelers in general to get to Dominica.
And try to emulate what they're doing. We also have the issue of air access in Dominica, which is a particular challenge to tourism and getting people here, people going, you know, it's always been, it takes too long to come to Dominica, or it's too expensive and it's too difficult, and that is a huge barrier to tourism development. So across the board, that's probably the number one deterrent factor in the industry doing better in Dominica.
Well, what is wrong there? And then I guess you can also relate that to the issue of do we need an international airport? We talk about difficulty with air access. Is it time we consider this big question, if you will?
I think it has been considered, and I think everybody agrees that it would be a good thing to be able to attract people to Dominica from faraway destinations, and so which would require the proper airfield. But I think we should be careful that we don't oversimplify things. And that's one of the things where I think people say they somebody else just need to do that. They just need to build an international airport and everything will be fixed. Well, in St. Vincent, they're completing the international airport now and they don't have any airplanes to come in, and they've been working on that for some time, and they have a bigger industry than we do. We really need to focus simultaneously while we do the infrastructure development on growing the industry.
Reports indicate that some tourists don't return to Dominica very often because of time-consuming air access to get to the destination. Raphael also suggests that the airline, along with aviation authorities, partners, and stakeholders in the industry, get together to do something about lowering taxes on airlines.
If we made a decision to build an international airport, it would take 10 to 15 years. 10 is very, very generous because it takes a long time to move the earth, to do the planning and so on and so on. So it would be at least 10, and that would be very optimistic, to more practically 15 years by the time we're able to open that. What do you do in between that time? And I think this is where...
So what is priority
What is priority right now is to move people in and out of Dominica as quickly as we can. And there's been some discussions on that. I happen to subscribe to the suggestion that we right now we need to focus on two strategies. One, the long term, and one, we need to work on short term. What do we need to do now to increase airlift between Dominica and the existing hubs that exist where people come into the region through? And this is where we need to concentrate on reducing the cost, increasing the frequency of traffic between Dominica and those hubs to make it easy for people to say, I want to go to Dominica and this is how I get there. It's simple. You can guarantee to get there the same day with a good level of service. And I think if we concentrate on that and also look beyond that, because we can't just look at what's in front of us, let's say 10, 15 years down the road when we have a tourism industry that's grown and we have increased demand, then we're ready to open that airport and there's already existing demand. So now, instead of the planes coming to the neighboring island, we can now have sufficient traffic to bring people in, because no aviation operator is going to fly an empty plane. It's not going to happen. And so we need to figure how we're going to fill the airplane first.
That was owner of the Jungle Bay Resort and Hummingbird Air, Sam Raphael. In more news, JetBlue Airways will soon be offering an additional service to Grenada to supplement the existing twice-weekly direct flights, and a fourth flight is in the works for next year. The airline, which began flying to Grenada in June, already offers service between New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport and Grenada's Maurice Bishop International Airport on Thursdays and Sundays. And the Macedonian government has declared a state of emergency in two border regions to cope with growing numbers of migrants, state media have reported. The move allows the army to be sent in to control the influx. Macedonia is a major transit point for migrants heading from Greece to wealthier northern EU members. Some 44,000 people have reportedly traveled through Macedonia in the past 2 months, many of them fleeing violence in Syria. The army's involvement would increase the level of security among our citizens in the two regions and allow for a more comprehensive approach towards the people expressing an interest in claiming asylum, said Interior Ministry spokesman Ivo Kotevsky. And this has been the evening's Prime News Roundup, but first a recap of the headlines. In news headlines this evening, Senator Thompson Fontaine angry over mismanagement of Dominica's economy and increasing taxation. JetBlue to add two more Grenada flights, the first beginning next month. And Macedonia, state of emergency declared over migrants. Once again, the news is brought to you through the kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. If you've missed any of our news packages, log on to our website. It's www.q95da.com to view the stories, or you can click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. But on behalf of the Q95 news team, I'm Richie Farrell, wishing you very pleasant evening.